In its quest to provide an open forum for discussion of controversial issues, this station allows hosts and their guests to express themselves without any significant censorship. You are advised that any view expressed by the host or their guest are not necessarily the views of the owners or management of TogiNet Radio, Togi Entertainment, or the Owners Group, Inc.
It's time for Sex Talk with Lou. Lou Paget on TogiNet. So, have you ever wondered if you're normal or why you feel distant from your partner? Why they keep doing that? Want to recreate a truly connected relationship? Or wondered, how do I tell my partner or kids about things? Then this is your chance to be a fly on the wall and learn about one of the most important parts of our health, our sexual health. Lou Paget is a certified sex educator, an international best-selling author, and not only will Lou and her guests discuss the most current research, they will put you at the head of the class on good, solid, scientifically based information and how it will impact you and your family. Known for delivering information about sexuality and relationships sans the sleaze factor, while retaining all the accuracy, fun, and the you're kidding factor. Let's get to it. Sex Talk with Lou on TogiNet. And now here's your host, Lou Paget.
Welcome, everyone, and thank you so much for being with us this evening. Tonight, we're going to have a slightly different twist on the things that we would normally speak about. And the reason for that is we're going to be having a conversation with my guest who is going to give you insight into the life as someone who is of a short stature. And my guest tonight is Mary Lou Naccarato, and as a sex educator, life coach, and speaker, Mary Lou draws from her formal education and life experiences as a person of short stature. And as she describes herself, standing at a statuesque 3'11", she developed a high tenure life approach to managing life's magical, yet often unpredictable journey. So what she did is she created explicit educational and entertaining sex and relationship workshops for all people who want to heighten their sensuality and their intimacy. And she did this for people who are of short stature and for people with a focus in the area of disability. And Mary Lou, I believe you are on with me right now. Is Mary Lou with us?
Yes, I'm right here.
How are you, my dear? Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
So we have we have so many questions that we can ask you that I know we won't be able to get through all of them. But to start with, I find it fascinating the things that led up to you making the shift to this being your passion. Can you please tell our listeners what it is, you know, that brought you to this point of doing these presentations for people?
Oh, I will. First of all, I have to say, Lou, it's a pleasure to be on your show, and I just love the idea that your name is part of my name.
That's true. Indeed it
Mary
is.
Lou. What happened is about 8 years ago, I was watching a program on a Discovery Health channel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was dealing with Kama Sutra positions. And one of the positions that they described was of a man standing in front of the bed with a woman on her back and her leg leaning over the edge of the bed and doing penetration. And
mm-hmm.
that position, I don't recall the name of that specific Kama Sutra position, but what got my attention was is that the narrator said that if the male had lower back pain,
mm-hmm.
that this position would be very alleviating and less pressure on the back. So I started to think, well, what would happen if there were other positions and for people who have different kinds of problems? I never really thought about it much. And even though I'm a little person myself, and I was married at the time to an average-sized man, we just kind of did what we had to do, but I didn't really conceptualize it.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did is I started asking my girlfriends who are short stature, and I asked them, how did you do it? What did you do? And that's the best resource you can ever get, trust me. And what I found was that it was an unspoken topic within our little people short stature community. It was very embarrassing. It was very private. And no one really wanted to talk about their challenges and their struggles.
Mm-hmm.
So I took it upon myself to see if I could do some research and fill the void of providing information. And
mm-hmm.
So here I am. I did a workshop back then for one of our little people conferences, and now it has grown to a much bigger thing than I ever anticipated, reaching not only little people but disability as a whole.
Okay. Now, just out of, you know, my curiosity here, doing my own presentations as well, what were some of the number one or number two struggles that, you know, people of short stature struggled with?
A common problem that many people with short stature have
mm-hmm.
is that their arms and legs are short, extremely
mm-hmm.
short for their torso. So they're not able to reach their genitals. So many of them did not have the exploration opportunity that one would have during adolescence and exploring your body and coming to terms with self-sexual identity. So there's a big gap in that time where they really don't have that kind of sexual maturity. That was a huge problem. So they would resort to other measures to possibly reach down there, but not really getting full satisfaction.
Okay.
Another item that often comes up is that because there are over 200 types of dwarfism, most people don't know this, that it's a wide variety of medical complications, and it can be neurological to orthopedic problems.
Mm-hmm.
And so it presents mobility issues, and if your partner has a disability or is also short stature, then that is a multiple issue. So how would they be able to have intercourse or positioning or techniques or any of those things when both of you have these challenges?
I hear you clearly. We spoke, you know, when we were both talking about, you know, having you come on the show, of the presentations that I also do with Dr. Linda Mona.
Mm-hmm.
Who she herself is dealing with a disability and also, you know, has a PhD, speaks to that as well. And it is something of knowing that, you know, there's adaptions and adoptions of different ways of doing things that, as she said, you know, people with disabilities get downright creative.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, you know, they know, and here's the other thing that they also know, if we speak to disability, they're used to having someone assist them with something. So they, you know, the asking of it, but when you speak of not being able to touch yourself or do self-exploration, that then has a problem of how do you then tell someone what you want when you don't know what that is?
Well, yes, one of the first things that I do in my workshop
mm-hmm.
is I talk about how we feel about ourselves first. We really get into looking into the mirror, asking yourself questions like, do I like me?
Mm-hmm.
Would I want me as a
okay.
sexual partner? Do I think I'm attractive? Am I normal? These are just ordinary questions that often are more of a struggle with people who've had challenges and were brought up with an asexual attitude.
Thank you for that, because that's something that I know that Linda Mona has said. The assumption is there's no desire, there's no drive, and there's no acknowledgement of this.
Yes, yes. It's very typical, especially since people of short stature and disability with disabilities have had so many surgeries and visits with the doctors and hospitalization. There comes a point where you become a little bit disassociated with your body as a pleasure. You deal with the pain, but you don't deal with it as a pleasure source as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I try to refocus that and say, look, you can have pleasure in a different way. We have this mentality in society of what is the model of normalcy. And there is no normal anymore.
No.
You know, anything goes. Anything. And there's so much creativity that you can explore once you get your mind out of the idea that you have to perform a certain way. Then we get into the subject of all these different opportunities.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you are doing these presentations, you're doing them for adults and you also do them for teenagers?
Yes, yes. I have talked with groups with teenagers as well. I've also had people in my workshop who are parents.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of parents now are very, very open-minded with the idea that they're seeing their child grow up in the future. What is going to happen? They're not aware that their child is going to go through a period of time where they're going to question their sexuality and they're not able to fulfill certain things like being able to reach their genitals and explore.
Mm-hmm.
So I really welcome young people and parents to prepare them for the future.
Which, you know, and having someone who can speak of having, you know, walked in those shoes and being aware that you speak from, you know, the voice of the validity comes because you're the real deal. You're not just someone who's just saying it. And for people, it resonates more it's more organic when it is someone's own story that they're saying, look, you need to make sure you handle this with your kids and address this. And touche for these parents for stepping up and doing this. But then how do they go about finding you, Mary Lou? Is this at conferences that they would find you?
Well, first of all, I want to say, being a little person myself, 3'11", and having gone through many of the medical challenges that I speak about with other people, yes, it allows me to really relate on a one-on-one basis. And so there's a good rapport of trust and understanding. So I feel like there's a great advantage of that. The way people find me is amazing. If you just Google little people and sexuality, you will find me. I recently got an amazing email from someone in Finland, for God's sakes. Finland, who a little person who's getting married, and she requested a copy of my book, and she was asking questions about how she can best prepare her sexuality and sex life with her future husband.
Okay, we're on with Mary Lou Naccarato. We will be right back talking about sexuality and people with short stature. Please stay with us.
This is Sex Talk with Lou on TogiNet with your host, Lou Padgett. Techniques and tips are her specialty. She delivers bite-sized chunks of information you can use right away that work. So stand by for more Sex Talk when we get back after these. This is Sex Talk with Lou on TogiNet.com.
Parents, if you feel overloaded, overworked, underappreciated, and seriously stressed out, the Parents Plate is here to help you. The Parents Plate with Brenda Nixon. Tuesday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet. It's time to build stronger families through parent empowerment. And that's what the Parents Plate does. The Parents Plate understands the busyness of life and balancing child rearing and other commitments. Brenda Nixon will be talking to noted experts and authors on all issues, from teething to teen driving. Brenda Nixon is a nationally recognized speaker to parents and child care professionals and author of the award-winning The Birth to Five book. From Fox 4 in Kansas City to schools and synagogues to businesses to bookstores, conferences to churches, audiences rave that Brenda engages, educates, and encourages. For more information on Brenda and her books, check out her website, brendanixon.com. The Parents Plate is loaded with information and affirmation. The Parents Plate with Brenda Nixon. Tuesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central on TogiNet.com. Okay, we will. We're going to teach you how to tell your money where to go. It's Intelligent Investing with Pam Otten on TogiNet. Learn how to be a savvy investor from someone who has your best interest at heart. Pam Otten is a financial advisor who loves to help successful business owners and entrepreneurs understand the mysteries of the investment world. And she's not afraid to share that knowledge. Pam is an unashamed Christian and qualified kingdom advisor, which means she's trained and committed to integrating biblical principles into her financial advice. Pam believes investing isn't rocket science, This is the financial advisor who's in your corner and truly understands and cares about you and helping you achieve your goals. Securities and advisory services are offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC. It's Intelligent Investing with Pam Otten on TogiNet.
Welcome back to Sex Talk. Imagine having access to some of the best experts in the field of sexuality and sexual health so you can finally ask that question. Be it function, sensation, or something you've heard, this is the spot. It's Sex Talk with Lou on TogiNet.com. And now, back to your host, Lou Padgett.
Welcome back, everyone. Tonight, my guest is Mary Lou Naccarato, and before the break, we were speaking of some of the challenges that people of short stature have when they're learning about sexuality, if their arms don't reach far enough, they can't, you know, self-explore. And one of the things that on her website, which is www.high10yourlife, and that's H-I-G-H, number 10, yourlife.com. She also has been creative and entrepreneurial and has designed a line of furniture, the Personal Activity Lounge, that can be used to keep oneself in position or adjust, or, you know, for able-bodied and for people with disabilities or who are short-statured. So, Mary Lou, describe how you created your PA Lounge.
Thank you. Yes, this is really exciting. It was accidental, actually, as great things usually are. What happened was my partner, Michael, and I, we were looking at a small piece of furniture that he had. It was a small Japanese table, and it was narrow, and it was long, kind of bench-like looking. And I'm like, dang, let's see if we could use this as a tool for a sex position. Because what often happens is, for many people like myself, it's very hard to be on top, to be the person on top. Our knees don't bend as well. We can't take the weight. Putting pressure on our arm to hold ourselves up in that position is very, very difficult.
Mm-hmm. So and the balance thing.
Yeah, it's really it's so difficult, especially on a flat surface like a mattress. Mm-hmm. So, I had him lay on this table on his back, and it was narrow enough so that I could stand over him and straddle, and I could be on top and practically sit on him. And mm-hmm. Most of my weight was on my feet, and I was in a sitting position. It was very comfortable. There wasn't any overstraining on my knees or anything, and I could conduct the amount of penetration that I desired. Mm-hmm. It was huge. So what I did is I took it a step further and contacted a company that makes small furniture or little furniture for people of short stature, and her name is Tracy with Little People Big Design. Told her what I wanted to do, and she collaborated with me, and voila, now we have the Personal Activity Lounge, which is a padded version of this incredible Japanese table, and it's also very wonderful for solo activities, if you want to lay on it for exercise or masturbation, and of course, a massage. You can find us on my Facebook. Anyone who looks me up on my Facebook fan page is listed. You can see the photo of the product. We just released it, and it's going to be uploaded in my website very soon, within the next month or so. I'm really excited about this. It's one of my favorite new items.
Because there's a line of furniture that I know of called Liberator Shapes.
Yes.
And they also are something that we, for those of us who, you know, work in the area of sexuality and disability, know them to be, they're better than just pillows. Like, for example, your, you know, Personal Activity Lounge is going to be better than just trying to position yourself with pillows or something else, because it's a much firmer and you feel more secure when you're, you know, dealing with it.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because I personally love Liberator. There's several products that Liberator has that I'm really, really fond of. One is the wedge heart, mm-hmm. and it's a small heart-shaped wedge pillow, which can be used in different varieties under your back or under your waist if you're in a doggy position. The other thing that I liked a lot about what Liberator offers is a new product that I have been using in my workshop now. It's very popular with the mailing art group, and that's called the Top Dog. Have you ever seen it?
No, I have not seen the Top Dog.
Oh, my God. I'm going to describe what the Top Dog is.
Okay.
Crazy name.
We're all waiting.
The Top Dog is, imagine a cube-like cushion with a hole in the middle, and you can put a male masturbation sleeve similar to like a fleshlight, mm-hmm. and a male can masturbate without using hands into this cushion. And it's ideal because you can turn the cushion in any different direction depending on the angle and the measurement that best fits you. And this is a huge, huge item with people with disability and short stature because many men cannot reach their genitals. And mm-hmm. it becomes a huge source of frustration. So that will be uploading on my website very, very soon as well. And I was really amazed that a Liberator has brought these products out, and I tell people it's not designed for the disabled community. These are ordinary products for ordinary people to establish endurance and exploration, but they're very conducive for people with disabilities. So I bring them out, and I put it all in one place in my website, in my workshop, mm-hmm. so that people can see that these products are normal. You don't have to feel different about being different.
No, and that's the one thing that with Mitch Tepper and Linda Mona, when we have done our presentations to the severely injured soldiers, the wounded warriors coming back, and actually, if anyone, you know, do you watch Dancing with Stars?
Yes.
Okay, J.R. Martinez happened to be the first year I was doing the presentations. J.R. was one of the people with the Coalition to Salute America's Heroes. So I'm, you know, cheering him on, yes, and just the nicest, nicest guy. And, you know, he has great stories. And one of the reasons we got brought in to do our presentations there is because of the, you know, they're young, they are going to be sexual, they're born of sexuality, and this is a natural part of their lives. But, again, when they have been so severely wounded and injured, people kind of think, oh, well, you know, they're not going to want to be sexual. Oh, yes, they are. And that's the thing that we do when you talk of they are created for a very broad, able-bodied audience and, you know, a normal-statured audience, but they are absolutely, they can be used in different ways that are pinpoint terrific for people who have disabilities. And I just actually went on and looked at the picture of the Top Dog. It's in black pleather.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Pleather.
And, you know, I'd like to say a comment about those people who acquire a disability later in life versus mm-hmm. those who are born with a disability. And there's a little bit of a difference in coping mechanism. I don't know if you've discussed this with anyone else before, but typically a person who has had a lifetime of disability have built up an asexual attitude, which we already discussed. So
mm-hmm.
there's emotional baggage that they have to work through and feel desirous of themselves first before moving forward and having sex with a partner. And then you have the other category of people who acquire a disability. Very often they're invisible. And so they're trying to cope with the loss of what they're not able to do, what they used to do. If the disability is external, like spinal cord injuries, it's even more severe. So what typically happens to people in those instances is that they go through a grieving process. They really do. The stages of grieving where they've lost the ability to do what they remembered they knew how to do. It's a very, uh-huh. very serious period of time. And it takes time to work through those type of emotional steps. Once they get through all of that, then they can really open up and work with their partner or themselves in creating a wonderful sex experience.
Now, did you have a family that was supportive for you?
Oh, my family? Oh, phenomenal. My family was phenomenal. Are you talking about me?
Mm-hmm.
Personally, that, yes.
And you know, who you were as a young woman, who you were as an attractive young woman, were they supportive for you so that you didn't feel asexual?
Well, okay, this is twofold. My family was very supportive. They always encouraged me to be independent and to build a future for myself and all of that. I think my family was naturally protective and felt like I should be with someone who is more able-bodied and could protect me and take care of me.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's just kind of like old-fashioned thinking a little bit. I don't think that's uncommon. I think a lot of people were raised with the idea that you need to be taken care of by someone else.
Uh-huh.
Today, I think it's much better, and that disabled people and short stature know that it's quite all right to have a partner who's disabled or short stature as yourself, and you work through any challenges that you might have.
Mm-hmm. Well, because I know when the we're going to be coming up to our, you know, our second break here in probably about a minute, but I am reminded of that, you know, for Linda Mona as a woman, you know, it was important for her that she always have herself, you know, as she and I joke about it, you know, very much chicks herself up. She makes sure that, you know, the hair, the makeup and everything. And, you know, you're similar in that way of presentation, Mary Lou. So
mm-hmm.
That's why, you know, that same kind of thing, you don't, that doesn't occur in a vacuum. That's why I asked that.
Yes, yes. And I do think, though, that because, let me rephrase this. I do think that people who are disabled or short stature, when they're out there and they're meeting a potential new partner, that they need to extend themselves a little bit more and make the other person feel more comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
I think the general population are much more accepting of society today with people of difference. However, I think that a person who is disabled or a short stature person needs to extend themselves more and be a little bit more inviting.
And to create that comfort level. We are going to our second break. Please stay with us. My guest is Mary Lou Naccarato, and we're going to be talking about sexuality, short stature, and we're coming back with some of her best options.
This is Sex Talk with Lou on TogiNet with your host, Lou Padgett. Techniques and tips are her specialty. She delivers bite-sized chunks of information you can use right away that work. So stand by for more Sex Talk when we get back after these. This is Sex Talk with Lou on TogiNet.com.
The Mary Beth Wells Hour is a talk radio show where we reach out, reach deep, and talk about topics of substance. We'll cover points of interest, such as World War II and the Holocaust, the Vietnam War, the planets and the oceans, skydiving, rock climbing, and much, much more. Join me every Monday at 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time as we delve into and discuss fascinating subjects. It's a program to pique your interest for sure.
Get ready to live La Bella Vita with Dawn Catherine on TogiNet.com. Live La Bella Vita. If you're wanting to know all the beauty tricks of the trade and the latest fashion trends before everyone else, this is your show. If you admire celebrities' beauty and their fashion sense, this is your show. Do you love wine and want to know more about the process it takes to make wine from the vine to the bottle? This is your show. Live La Bella Vita.
First class, up in the sky, champagne, living the life.
For more on the show and your host, check out our website, LaBellaVitaCosmetico.com. This is the kind of show you can sink your teeth into. If you enjoy traveling and food and family, all with an Italian flair, then you can live La Bella Vita with your host, Dawn Catherine. Wednesday nights at midnight, 11 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Sex Talk. Imagine having access to some of the best experts in the field of sexuality and sexual health so you can finally ask that question. Be it function, sensation, or something you've heard, this is the spot. It's Sex Talk with Lou on TogiNet.com. And now, back to your host, Lou Padgett.
Welcome back, everyone. Before the break, I said that my guest, Mary Lou Naccarato, who is a sexuality educator and works specifically within the area of people with short stature and those with disabilities, that we were going to come back with her best options. And instead, we decided we were going to come back with some of her really good stories. So, Mary Lou, the ball is over the plate.
Oh, thank you, Lou. I have a couple of interesting stories. I always like to start with myself because our experiences really help us convey an important message. And oftentimes, when someone is meeting a person with a disability or short stature, they don't really get a clear idea of what their limitations are or what boundaries they might have.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important that you take the time to talk with each other before you have sex with someone or engage in sexual play about what parts of your body is sensitive, what you're able to do, what you're not able to do, so it doesn't become awkward during that
mm-hmm.
moment. So I didn't do this, obviously. And I was very young, the ripe age of 19.
Yes.
And I was experimenting with a gentleman who wanted to do oral sex. And I didn't quite hear what he was saying, and I do have a hearing impairment. I thought he said oral sex. Oil. And I'm like, no, I don't want oil. I don't want to do anything that has to do with oil. No, 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 no. And so the opportunity came and went. And as it turned out, 30 years later, who happens to be my current partner today, I asked Michael, and I said, do you remember that time when you asked if I wanted to have oil sex? And I realized at that point, many years later, that he meant oral sex. And he couldn't believe that I actually thought he said oral sex instead of oil sex or whatnot. So now we have a fun little joke over it. And when we don't hear each other, we just say, oh, we're having an olive oil moment. So I really feel bad because I could have had this great oral sex experience, and I didn't have it. So, I mean, that's just a little indication of how we might miss opportunities if we're not really clear with our partners.
That's a great story.
Seriously, I had a very interesting client who never had an orgasm, a young woman, vibrant, healthy, little person, and she is sexually active, and she engages in sexual play with her partners, but she never really had an orgasm. This is not uncommon, actually, with the general population, you know?
Right.
So sometimes some of these questions are not any more different than the general population. But what makes this one different is that she wasn't really able to reach her genitals.
Okay.
So it caused another layer of, challenge. So I turned her to one of the vibrators that I sell, and it's a flex vibrator. It's long, it's extended, and it curves in different directions.
Uh-huh.
So it makes the reach very easy. And we talked about doing conscious masturbation. And I learned a lot from Betty Dodson on
right.
this topic, who I am also a sex and disability blogger on Dodson and Ross.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea of conscious masturbation is a topic that many people don't want to really explore, but it really helps a lot to know where your desires are, what your threshold is of pleasure and everything else. So I had my client take this vibrator, and I go, you go home, have a glass of wine, take this vibe, and you play with yourself. Allow 1 or 2 hours, and don't do anything else. She has experimented a little bit before, but her partner never really stimulated her enough to really achieve an orgasm. So she was thinking that maybe she was non-orgasmic. And I said, you know, I have this sneaky feeling that what you need is more time. And do this by yourself. So she did that.
Right.
She went by herself, mm-hmm. Had a glass of wine, she took the vibe. And she played with her for an hour or so. All of a sudden, I get a text message from her. And she said, oh, my God. And it's like, I feel it. All of a sudden, a text message. And I'm like, yeah. She finally got there. She called me later, a few hours later, and she was so excited that she finally got through a barrier that she never thought ever she would be able to cross.
And you know what's interesting? You saying that, you know, this is something that's within the general population. It absolutely is. And the main reason the majority of women are not we now refer to as pre-orgasmic, is because they aren't getting the stimulation that they need.
Absolutely.
I don't know, do you know that they now have a film, is it at Sundance? It's going to be the film on the physician that created and brought in the Vibe to be used to treat women with hysteria.
Mm.
Maggie Gyllenhaal is starring in it,
mm-hmm.
And I literally just saw a trailer for it.
Oh, I want to see it.
It is quite cute, actually. It's quite cute. Here's me, I'm going like, is it accurate? But for this woman, how exciting for her to finally have that feeling.
Her whole world opened up. She goes, I owe you so much. Thank you so much. That was a great feeling. And we do help people one at a time. However, I do want to say, though, orgasm is not the objective, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We needed to see if that was something that she was capable of doing. There are many people with medical conditions that are not able to orgasm in the same way. And so they're going to have pleasure zones in different areas of their body, the erogenous.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want anyone to think, well, if they're not able to have an orgasm the normal way, I hate that word, normal way, then there's something, then there's something wrong, you know.
Right.
We need to find out.
You also say that you have some good, you had some funny stories with professional clinicians.
Yes, I do. And before I do, I just wanted to give you a brief little statistic. Do you know what is the percentage of people with disabilities in the United States?
It's really big. I'm going to, are we talking disabilities that are life-term, just like everyone who has a disability?
Yeah, according to the Census for Disease Control and Prevention, it's just a general approximation of people with all kinds of disabilities. I don't have all the complete breakdown, but if we were to take an average, what mm-hmm. do you think it might be?
I'm just going to throw it out there and say 65%.
Oh, that's fairly high. And according to this study, the Bureau of Income Program Participation, it says that there are approximately 22% of people with disabilities. This was in 2008. I have a feeling it's a lot higher, closer to what you're saying.
The reason I'm saying that is because of the number of people I know who, for whom there is a health issue that is impacting their sexuality. It's high.
Yes. Yes, I do. Now, here's another interesting statistic. There was a study that was done out of Kent State University in Kent, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
And what they found was they did a study on university students, disabled university students, and asked the question, have you had sex? And if you had, how often do you have sex, and whether or not you had safe sex. Generally speaking, what they found in their study was that disabled college students had more sex more often, and they had unsafe sex more often than general population. I thought that was, like, very interesting. So here we have people who are engaging in interesting activity, probably because of a lack of opportunity. They're just jumping into situations that may not be safe.
Well, that is definitely something that I know that, you know, Linda and Mitch also have, you know, they also comment on that same, you know, there's a greater risk factor that occurs. And, you know, it's sort of like, oh, someone really likes me, so I better take advantage of this now.
Yeah.
And they don't use proper protection.
Yes, and they're in a situation where they're not emotionally ready to engage that kind of behavior. What I would like to recommend for people who want to have a sexual exploration in a safe way without jumping into situations that may not be safe and potentially harmful is to look at the opportunity of a surrogate therapy partner.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure you're very well of this, too. Most people think that, you know, it's a controversial issue. But I think it's a really ideal way for people with disabilities and short stature who've had limited experience with sexuality mm-hmm. to have a sexual relationship training, so to speak, with a surrogate partner.
I could not agree with you more, Mary Lou, and I'll tell you, within our within the professional area, my peers of other sex educators, one of some people who have just come in who are trained sexual surrogates, and their training is from Israel. And in Israel, it is well known that this is used within the areas, particularly because so many people are within the military, and it also because it's, you know, a society that does not give a tremendous amount of permission to be, you know, for many to be sexually active prior. It schools them. Now, here's what most people don't know about surrogates, is that a true surrogate is used in combination with part of a therapy with a sex therapist, with
Correct.
A therapist. So it is a guided, it is not just sort of random, you know, they start with different touching, they start, and it may or may not go on to intercourse. That's the important thing. And I had a gentleman who I ended up sending him to a surrogate for the same reason, and it was the reason why his marriage actually, his engagement and subsequent marriage actually lasted. So we are about to go to our final break. My guest this evening is Mary Lou Naccarato, and we were speaking of the use of sexual surrogates for people with disabilities to have them get used to what the step-by-step process is when you are being intimate with a partner. Here's our break, and we're going to come back with more stories. And again, my guest is Mary Lou Naccarato. Please stay with us.
This is Sex Talk with Lou on TogiNet with your host, Lou Padgett. Techniques and tips are her specialty. She delivers bite-sized chunks of information you can use right away that work. So stand by for more Sex Talk when we get back after these. This is Sex Talk with Lou on TogiNet.com.
Why do I feel so lousy? Why aren't my medications working? Why can't my doctor figure me out? These are just a few of the questions Dr. Kevin Connors will be exploring in Dr. Kevin Connors Live every Monday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central on TogiNet.com. The author of the book, Help My Body Is Killing Me, Solving the Connections of Autoimmune Disease to Thyroid Problems, Fibromyalgia, Depression, ADD, ADHD, and more. He'll dig into these and many other conditions to dissect the mechanisms of your problems. Giving God the glory and looking for answers to make you look and feel better, to make you feel whole again. For more on him, his book, and the show, check out upperroomwellness.com. Never be satisfied with a diagnosis. There is always a reason behind it. And if you can alter the mechanisms that led you down your current path, we can change your future. It's Dr. Kevin Connors, live, Monday nights at 9, 10 Central, here on TogiNet.com. Ready for the most current feel-good gossip? Then check out Daytime with Donna, with your host, Donna Intercastle, and sidekick Nina Fry, every Friday afternoon at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com. You're sampling. Donna is a charismatic, market-driven entrepreneur who was part of the team that founded iVillage.com, which is the largest content-driven community for women today. Donna and Nina are here to empower you, motivate you, and encourage you in all aspects of your life. It's like Oprah on the radio. Plus, your chance to win great prizes, all the way up to a $500 Visa gift card. For more on Donna Infocasso, check out her website, introinc.com. Then join us for the show, Daytime with Donna, with your host, Donna Intercastle, and sidekick Nina Fry. Friday afternoons at 2, 1 Central on TogiNet.com.
Welcome back to Sex Talk. Imagine having access to some of the best experts in the field of sexuality and sexual health so you can finally ask that question. Be it function, sensation, or something you've heard, this is the spot. It's Sex Talk with Lou on TogiNet.com. And now, back to your host, Lou Padgett.
Welcome back, everyone. Tonight, we're going into our final segment, and my guest is Mary Lou Naccarato, and she can be reached at www, and her website is high10yourlife.com. So, high10yourlife.com. And before the break, we were speaking of, you know, some of the fun stories and things that Mary Lou, and here's the thing that we both know, Mary Lou, people learn when they laugh about something. You know,
yes.
The information goes in and stays there. So you said you had some other really, you know, fun stories, but before we do that, tell me, what are the acceptable terms for little people?
Yeah, that's a good question. The acceptable term for little people, of course, is little people. Is one. Dwarfism is fine. Short stature is fine. Also, we consider the word midget offensive. Typically, we don't use the word small people either. So,
okay.
Short stature, person of short stature, dwarfism, and little people.
Okay. Now, so one of your things that you sent me, what is the acceptable term used for people who are not little people or not disabled, since most people automatically say normal people?
Yes. Typically, we just say non-disabled. That would just be a good generic way of describing someone who is not disabled, instead of saying the word normal. I will say, though, in the little people culture, we describe people who are not little, we say average size. So you're average size, Lou.
Okie dokie. I don't have any problem with that. It's kind of like a one-size-fits-all average size.
Yes, you are.
But you also made a statement that I thought was interesting in your bio, that you personally believe that everyone is disabled or differently abled in one way or another, and it's just a matter of degree, whether or not your condition is internal or external.
Yes, I really do. And I think we can all share in that belief. We should look around you, and there is so much diversity today that the fact that my disability is very externally noticeable, I'm very capable of doing many things, more things than people who are have limitations that are not noticeable. So I think it's a foolish assumption to only judge by what you see.
And I concur, counselor, because here's what I know. For many people right now, one of the biggest things that's impacting their ability to connect to people or to be sexual or to have desire or to be orgasmic, both for women and men, are all the different medications they're taking. People
yeah.
are having, and so you wouldn't know that by looking at someone.
Correct.
To the contrary, you would say, oh, that looks like what I've been conditioned to
right.
think. You
right.
know, so, you know. Now, okay, let's go. What are the fun stories?
Okay, so you had asked me if I had any stories from previous experiences. I had a client that called me up who was living in an assisted living home, and she's a little person. And she was typically a favorite user of the magic wand. And we're talking heavy duty, 3 pounds, 2 feet long magic wand that you plug in.
And this thing is a workhorse.
It is. The Hitachi magic wand, they're great. They are. Anyhow, this particular individual, she's short stature, and she was, I think she was in her late 60s or so, and she said she always used the magic wand, but she was having more problems these days because in the past, the way she would always use it is she would stand up, bend over, and be able to use the wand to stimulate her. She wasn't able herself. She wasn't able to do it laying down or sitting on a chair because she wasn't able to reach properly. She had to stand. Well, because of her aging condition and complications with her medical condition, she wasn't able to do that anymore. And she goes, I get so tired, I can't hold on to the wand, and, you know, I haven't had an orgasm in months. I'm going out of my mind. And I would think, this is fantastic to have someone of this age and situation call me. So I said, well, I have a really cool vibrator that you should be able to use, and it curves and it bends, and you'll be able to do it probably laying down. But I need to know what is the distance between your hand to your genital area, because I have two different sizes and of length. And she goes, well, I don't know. I have no idea. And I said, well, you're living in an assisted facility. Can you have someone come out and measure for you? Oh, my God. She flipped out. She goes, are you kidding me? There's no way they're going to measure. And I'm like, that's the problem with today, which I'm sure you're very well of, that caregivers in assisted facility situations, that attendants will not help facilitate people with disabilities to meet their sexual needs. And this was a classic example of it. And she was so frustrated and so upset. She went, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I don't know what to do. So I said, well, look around you. Do you have a sheet of paper or an envelope? 8x11 sheet of paper, anything. She goes, well, I have an envelope. I go, is it a legal size envelope? Yes. So I said, take the envelope, hold on to it, and tell me how far away it is from your fingertips to the end of the envelope to your genitals. And she estimated that it was, she put it in front of her, and she goes, you know what? It's about 1.5 envelopes. And I'm like, okay. So
you know,
I made an envelope.
You know, creativity, Mother Nature's, greatest, spring point thing. But there are also now so many different things that are straps that can be used to hold things onto your hand that will then allow you, with a partner. Now, do you ever use any of the products from Sports Sheets?
Yes, I carry some of them. Yes, a lot of the straps are wonderful. People think that straps is for bonkers and discipline, and it certainly isn't. There's wonderful. I like the ones where they wrap around your ankles, and you're able to pull your legs up, and you don't have to worry about using your own strength to raise your legs. Mm-hmm. I think those are wonderful to use, and very powerful.
I also like the doggy style, where it is for rear entry penetration, but what it actually does is it goes around, the partner to be penetrated. It goes around their hip area and allows them to, the partner who's penetrating, to hold them in place. So,
yes.
I mean, that one, and it also, when I introduced it for the Wounded Warriors, this one gentleman was being incredibly, and I said, listen, what would you do if you couldn't hold on to your partner with your hands? How would you hold your partner?
Mm-hmm.
Because he was getting all, and I said, this is something that can be used to help a man hold his partner in place.
Yes.
And he was like, oh, now I get it. And that's,
definitely.
You know, to me, that's like being able, and having someone who will speak, very candidly, but as, in a gentle, professional way, so that people aren't nervous.
Yes.
Because that's one of the things that, people are like, they follow their comfort level from what your comfort level is.
Absolutely.
Not.
Absolutely. If you feel comfortable with dealing with the differences and the creative opportunity there to explore with your partner's not going to feel as bad. But when you're
right.
starting to feel awkward, then they're going to feel awkward. That's why, like I said before, I think you have a responsibility to put the other person at ease first. I think that's really critical. I wanted to share one more important thing, since we were talking about the woman in the assisted living center. My partner had recently had a hip replacement. And hip replacement is a popular thing now. Lots of people are having these kind of joint implant surgeries. Well, when you're going through the rehabilitation process after your surgery, there's lots of precautions that you have to follow.
Right.
And one of the things that really concerns me is that when you meet with the physical therapist or the occupational therapist, they don't take the time to really talk to you about how you can proceed with sexual activity while you're in the rehabilitation phase. So what I did, I thought this was really kind of fun. My partner and I, Michael, we decided, well, we're going to ask when he was recovering from hip replacement. This happened about 2 years ago. I said, you know what? I'm going to ask them, how can we have sex while you're recovering from your surgery? And so we get that. The occupational therapist came in and she said, okay, do you have any questions? And I go, well, I have a question. You know, how can we have sex? Well, she went pale right on the spot.
But, you know, which is... And then she defaults to her own experience, and she's like, I have no idea.
Exactly. She was like, and I'm like, well, I'd really like to know because we're very active, and I don't want to hurt them and all this stuff. And she didn't know my background or anything, but I really wanted to get a firsthand experience of how people would deal with this. So she said, you know what? I'll get back to you tomorrow. Let's set up an appointment. So we did. The next day, we had an appointment, and she came up with some interesting options, the side position and different things that you can do. And by the way, all of these positions are in my book. If you go to my website, I have a whole book full of options. And so she gave a nice little 5 or 10 minute explanation of what you could do. It was very, very sweet, very simple. And then I told her, I said, look, I'm a sex educator. And she goes, oh, my God, how did I do? And then as it turned out, she said, I have to thank you because no one has ever asked her that.
Uh-huh.
They get very little training in this area when they're going through their training.
They get none.
What I was going to say is, yes, you're probably right. It's probably little to none. But here's the exciting part. Because of that experience, she has now told me that she is working towards her doctorate degree and dealing with sexuality of burn victims in
great.
Occupational therapy. And she said because
right.
of that one incident, and I was thinking,
we all did that. We are just about to close our show. My guest this evening is Mary Lou Naccarato. Her website is www.high10yourlife.com, and that's H-I-G-H-10. Mary Lou, thank you so much for being on the show, and thank you for sharing your stories.
It was a pleasure. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. Take care. Thank you, everyone. Enjoy the rest of your week.
With host Lou Padgett. Every week, this will be your chance to be a fly on the wall and learn about one of the most important parts of our health, our sexual health. Join Lou Padgett. She